This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's go! This is the South Florida High School Sports Show with your host Larry Bluestein on 560 WQAM.
And that is us on a Wednesday, midweek.
Yeah, you see, I am in the... I have been in that mode that I want to do every single day. And I have. I've been on the radio station every single day since, because we had that, didn't we have a Sunday game? When was the LSU game? That was a Sunday game, right?
That was a Sunday game, yes.
That was a Sunday game. So we have been on, we had the Friday night pregame from the Boston College, and also we have been on, obviously, Monday, Tuesday, and tonight, Wednesday, with a decent show, to say the least. Obviously, this is a great time, believe it or not, to be a football fan. I know we're right in the middle of basketball, and certainly... on the horizon with baseball and spring training. But yeah, there's a lot to be thankful for this time of year. Football, spring football for colleges, for the high schools, getting in shape, playing 7-on-7. Tonight's show will run that gamut from college to recruiting, back to college, and also to high school. 8:45, Manny Diaz, head coach, University of Miami, will join us. Talk about what has been just a outstanding offseason. We'll talk about that, talk about recruiting, recruiting of the past, this last class, and certainly looking ahead to the future. At 8:30, Rob Cassidy from Rivals.com does a tremendous job. They have an event this week, Three Stripe Camp, going on. Best of the best will be out there like always. You have three or four of those where the national brands come south, and they usually get everybody. At 8:20, we'll talk to Coach Willie Taggart, Florida State University. The Seminoles, coming off a year in which they didn't go to a bowl, a lot of people demanded changes. There were changes made. New offensive line coach, new offensive coordinator. We'll talk to Willie Taggart at 8:20. But we kick things off with our high school guest, and tremendous high school guest he is. Just a junior. Started his high school career at Monarch High School up in Coconut Creek. This is somebody when you, are talking about the blueprint of a student athlete. Xavier Restrepo certainly gets it done on the football field, where he has for many years, but also an achiever in the classroom. And that has turned some heads as well during the entire recruiting process. They're not only looking at the tremendous catches he makes from a slot position or the outstanding breakups he does from a safety position when needed, but he also gets it done when you have to crack the books. And that's something that everybody preaches. You have grades and you have a future. And certainly Xavier Restrepo has one. St. Thomas Aquinas Jr., kind enough to join us this evening. Xavier, thanks so much for taking the time.
How are you doing? Thank you for having me.
This is you heard the introduction. This is something that your family has been 100% aboard on. Education is premier. It's the only thing that counts. Obviously, what you do on the football fields is great. But talk about that. I mean, getting it done in the classroom, being able to, you know, say, hey, you know, I'm a qualifier before I even start. I don't have to do anything extra. I've always maintained this type of, you know, regimen since I was younger. Talk about that and who's responsible for that.
Yes, sir. Well, my mom has always preached my whole life, just grades, grades, grades. And that's just, there's athletes around the world that could play ball really well, just like I could. But what gives us that extra edge is just the classroom. And that's what my mom always just preached to me. And it's just habits, and everything's just paying off right now.
You're the type of guy that seems to always have to prove yourself. But, you know, you look at some of the guys that have had to prove themselves that are doing pretty well and wearing multiple Super Bowl rings. You're one of the guys that steps up, wants the competition year-round. You go against players that are older, that are bigger, that are faster in some cases, and usually you're the one coming away with the awards, with the accolades, with the trophies. Talk about that demeanor and that will to succeed on the football field.
Yes, sir. Well, my mom and dad always told me just control the controllable. So right now, I'm just doing what I have to do, and I'm just contributing everything that I've learned, that I've practiced, that I've trained for, and just putting it into my game. And I mean, it's working. So
yeah,
you know, I'm just controlling my controllable, and I'd rather have to work for everything and not just be given everything, because I don't think I would be the same person I am now if I was just given everything.
Yeah, no doubt. And you've had to work. You carved out a pretty good couple years at Monarch, did tremendous, got some attention, helped the team. You know, a lot of players over there, I'm sure that if it weren't for you, there wouldn't have been that bar to raise. Who raises that bar for you? Do you look around and seeing some of these guys that are getting, you know, the stars or getting more offers or this or that, and you think mentally, you know, that's where I've got to be? Do you work, or do you set your own pace, thinking, you know, the only one that could beat you is yourself?
Yes, sir. Well, I'm just focused on me right now, you know, just me, my family, obviously St. Thomas Aquinas, and just everything that I've worked for. And that's just never been a concern, because, you know, I've went up against 4 stars, 5 stars, and we've competed before, and it's just nothing but a decoration to me, you know. I'm just controlling the controllable. That's what I was saying. I'm just gonna do what I have to do, and whether or not I get those stars or not, I'm just gonna keep grinding on and off the field as usual.
Yeah, as usual. Xavier Restrepo joining us, St. Thomas Aquinas. When you take a look, also this opportunity this past December to play in a state championship game, a lot of learning in there. But nevertheless, something that you say to yourselves, you know, next time it's going to be different. Talk about that big stage, probably the biggest stage in the state of Florida, to be in a state title game. What was that about? And what did you come away kind of learning and making it clearer for you in the future?
Well, last year we didn't finish the way we wanted to. We didn't come out strong, and we just didn't play our game.
You do the 7-on-7, and you've done that ever since the beginning. You do the 7-on-7, and you've done that ever since the beginning. It's a great way, as you said, to compete. And there's no better place than South Florida to compete, especially when it comes to 7-on-7. You're going to have the top DBs. You're going to have the top quarterbacks and receivers. Talk about that and getting the edge and playing against. Like, I know that when you guys go away, whether it be Vegas or, you know, California or wherever, I think you went to South Carolina this last week. What was that like, getting some of that? Are you guys a target because you're from South Florida, or do they just play you hard, you know, the same way?
Yes, sir. Well, you know, Florida Fire, everybody has that edge on Florida Fire where, like, they don't like them. You already know. You already know that they don't like those Florida Fire boys. Everywhere we go, we just have that edge over us, you know, that aim pointed at us, you know.
But isn't that crazy that a 7-on-7 off-season thing could get that much attention? Yeah. I mean, there's more attention being paid to 7-on-7 sometimes than the regular season. I mean, I guess it makes for good internet stuff, but I mean, that's got to really be raising you a little bit, because we watch you at the combines, we watch you in games. I mean, your engine is always at 1 out of 10. You're always up at the 10. You're always full throttle. But those events right there gives you an opportunity, because you get more than likely a chance to go one-on-one, because they're not, it's kind of tough to play zones because they'll flood the zones, and you know how that goes. But talk about that, because I think that even though it's not, as people would say, real football, it kind of assimilates the game in a lot of ways.
Yes, sir. Well, we just go out there, have fun, to do what we have to do, but you already know, like, work comes with it. You just don't, like, wake up one day and just magically, you know, just become an athlete. I've done a whole bunch of training with Coach Sly from Premier Athlete, Tevin Allen from Gold Feet, Zach Reman from Tough Training, and you already know, like I said, the Florida Fire Boys.
Yeah.
That's
turf war stuff, man. You keep mentioning those Florida Fires, and the Express will be wanting equal time and all that. It's like a turf war.
You already know, whenever we face each other, it's something special to watch.
Yeah, it so, is.
Just playing previous years with guys like Tywan Mullen and Akeem Dent and Diamante Howard and those type of guys, iron sharpens iron at the end of the day, and you can't be the best until you verse the best. You know?
No doubt. Zay, before we let you go, talk a little bit about Coach Harriet and what he's meant for you over the last year.
Yes, sir. Well, first off, I would love to thank him right now, because without him, a lot of things wouldn't be happening. He's just a great, great coach, but not just a great coach, but just a mentor, like a father figure, because he just reminds me of my dad a lot, because no matter what, he's always going to have your back, and he's never going to turn on you. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, he's never going to turn on you. He's always going to have your back. He's a very, very faithful man, and he believes in God. And like I said, he's just never going to turn on you. And he just has, like, once you meet him, you just have that relationship where you trust him, he trusts you, and you guys are riding together.
Yep.
You already know, like, for the top. Yes,
good
sir.
Stuff. Zay, thanks so much. I appreciate you joining us. Control what you can control, as you say, and
we'll talk
to you soon. The best of luck, and I know we'll see plenty of you.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
Good stuff. Xavier Restrepo, just a junior at St. Thomas Aquinas. You could tell the kid's got a lot going for him. In and out of the classroom, tremendous football player. Kind of huddle him if you can after our show to do a Google on Xavier Restrepo from St. Thomas Aquinas, and you'll see he turns some heads. When we come back, Coach Willie Taggart, Florida State, will join us.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Oh, yeah, back with you on a South Florida High School Sports.com radio show for a Wednesday evening. Larry Bluestein, Danny G with us up until 9 o'clock. Thanks so much to Xavier Restrepo for joining us in our first segment. In just a few minutes, we'll be turning our attention to Tallahassee. Coach Willie Taggart from Florida State will be joining us momentarily. Don't forget, about 8:45 or so, it'll be Manny Diaz, the University of Miami Hurricanes. A lot has been going down in Coral Gables, as everybody knows, from reading and listening and just about anything else that they've been able to do. And also about 8:30 or so, Rob Cassidy from Rivals.com. We'll take some time to talk about this weekend's three-stripe camp, which is another one of the Under Armour Nike events where a lot of the athletes are showcased. Some of the 4-5-star type of guys are, you know, do their thing. Rightfully so, and then some of the under the radar type of athletes as well. So certainly going to be a lot of fun. We'll talk to Rob Cassidy in just about 10 minutes or so, and also Manny Diaz at 8:45. Talk what's going on in the world of University of Miami Hurricane football. So right now, as we promised before, we'll head up to Tallahassee. Coach Willie Taggart, he's kind enough to join us this evening. Coach, thanks so much for taking the time.
Thanks for having me on. How's everything going?
I'm doing great. Doing great. You know that everywhere you go, we're kind of honed in on you, whether it's Western Kentucky, USF, and now in Tallahassee.
Yes,
and doing a really good job. After last year, made some changes. Obviously, when you come in and you got to assess, it takes some time to assess everything in a program. You've done that. You have the staff now with, as I see, bringing aboard an offensive coordinator that you're on the same page with, offensive line mm-hmm. coach. Talk about how change sometimes is good and patience is almost even better.
Well, I think change is the only constant that we all have. You know, so You're always looking to find out what's best for you and what's going to help you. And, you know, when you talk about being patient, I think it's important that there's progress while being patient.
Yep.
You know, and I think we made some changes that needed to happen that's going to help our football team. And then I think our guys are buying into what we're asking them to do. They're doing a great job. I think this time, compared to last year, this time is night and day, you know, and when you're taking over a new program, you really don't get to know your team until you get into the battle.
Exactly.
You know, and we got into the battle and learned a lot more about our football team. And the same thing, our football team learned a lot about us as coaches. So we took it in stride and didn't go the way we wanted to, but I think there's a big-time learning lesson for a lot of us. And the beauty is we can make it right, and that's what everybody's focusing on is getting it right.
You know, Coach, when you take a look at the roster and the personnel, I mean, you shake your head. I mean, and I was doing it today and knowing a lot of the kids, you know, throughout mm-hmm. the state of Florida and the Southeast and a lot of your recruiting bases, you look at your current roster, and it's mm-hmm. a roster that could win. I mean, this is with the addition of the incoming freshman that'll be, you know, that'll follow along in the summertime. Talk about that, because, I mean, I know you've taken time to assess every single player, every single position. I mean, you're in pretty good shape.
Well, yeah, you're exactly right. And a lot of guys that played last year, they're back. You know, you look at last year, we played a lot of young guys. I know like 65% of our roster was freshman sophomores or redshirt sophomores, you know, and a lot of those guys that played last year, they're back. And again, it doesn't matter if you have a lot of talent, if you don't have a great team, you know. And so we're focusing on becoming a better team, becoming better teammates, and when you're that way, then the talent part would take over the things that we need them to do, you know. But one thing we're really focusing on is becoming a really good team, because I felt like last year we had talent, but we wasn't a good team. And if we get to that point, I think you'll see. Not if we get to that point. When we get to that point, you're gonna see a big difference in our football team. Better yet, see Florida State being what Florida State should be.
Yeah, no doubt. Coach Willie Taggart joining us, head coach, Florida State University. And, Coach, you know, the community that has been built through the last 35 to 40 years, the football culture in Tallahassee and particularly at Florida State is a culture that's a demanding culture. And obviously with all the greats who have walked through the halls and have played and been All-Americans and played in the NFL – they embrace, obviously, when things are positive and things have they've been spoiled through the years, and rightfully so. Great coaching along the way. Talk about that and the fan base, and because it's really like no other, because of the fact that where you're situated. I mean, you have fans as far away as Texas and as close as Quincy. So talk about that and trying to deal with every single fan out there, because they're passionate and you understand how everything goes. Talk to the fans about Florida State football and what they can expect.
Well, I think there's a standard, and you talked about it there, and that's something we all can't ever get away from, you know, no matter what we're going through. There's a standard, and that's the standard that we all live for and wake up each and every day to make sure that our team is living up to that standard. I think that's something that makes Florida State so special and a big reason why we all are here. Big reason why we all want to be here. That's why it is a destination, you know, because of the standard and what is and what people from the past has built it to. I tell our fans, don't change. We can't ever change that standard. It's on us to get it back up to that standard. But we keep that passion, and that's the beauty of this place. They're very passionate about their football team, you know, and they're very passionate about winning.
I didn't want to interrupt, but I was thinking, you know, this last year when you were talking about a lot of young kids that had been used. I mean, and you've seen that before. You've been part of programs where you may not have wanted to rush this kid or that kid along, but you had to do that. Was it an advantage, do you think, because of the fact that you had so many players who were freshman, sophomore last year who had so much playing time that they are that much ready right now?
Oh, absolutely. It's an advantage for us. Not necessarily this past year, but moving forward, it absolutely is is an advantage. And again, I'm seeing that now as we go through our winter conditioning and just seeing where we're at compared to where we were this time last year. It's night and day, and it's because of the experiences kids are having and just everybody having a better understanding of what the expectations are of what and how we're going to do things.
Yeah, no doubt. Coach Willie Taggart joining us, Florida State University, and coach with spring football right there. What are you looking to accomplish? I mean, what are you looking to get out? I know that every coach has different objectives. They're in different situations. They probably have a quarterback situation that stacks, so they don't really have to. What are the coaching staff, what are you looking to assess over that period of time?
Well, I think it's really important because we have a lot of young kids on our team is that we create and build some competitive depth on our football team. You know, that was a big issue was going to last year. We had some guys go down and we weren't able to replace them with competitive depth. And you go through this league and you understand that. I know for myself, if you don't have that, you're going to struggle. I don't care who you are. You know, and the ones that have that competitive depth to where they can rotate guys and play, those are the guys that's winning a lot of ball games. You know, so it's really important that as we get through spring ball that we're creating that depth and then making sure that we're getting better at areas that we lacked in this past season and make sure we understand those areas we lacked in and why we lacked in those areas and making sure that we improve those.
Yeah, good stuff. Coach, again, thank you for – I know it's a busy time. You guys are getting ready. Thanks for taking the time. A lot of FSU fans, South Florida, had been talking about having you on. We did. They heard a lot of good things and a lot of positive things. Again, thanks so much. Say hello to Coach Kelly for us, and we'll talk to you real soon.
Hey, thanks for having me on, lad. I always enjoy being on with you. I appreciate you so much. And go Noles.
You too, buddy. Thank you. Tremendous guy, a hard worker. I know that FSU fans were a little bit soured last year, maybe still are. And I don't know how to answer that, but I do know that they have some really good people. Look at the roster. They have some good talent. I think they put it together. They got, it's not a very deep team. But you know what? Miami's in the same situation. A lot of programs are in the same situation when you're not a very deep team and you're losing a guy like Brian Burns. That's what everybody has to work on. But it'll happen. I mean, I think they have the right people in place. As we told you, as we make a segue into our next segment, we talk about all the events that happen, showcasing our athletes, the football players, on a year-round basis. I mean, and now, through the months of January and February, and even into March, a lot of the Under Armour, Nike, a lot of the brands come in and kind of host their events, you know, to get their own timing, to get their own heights and weights, to see these athletes and evaluate them in their own way. And one of them is, I believe, maybe the last of the big ones coming through South Florida this weekend, especially on Sunday, is that three-stripe camp. And we were there last year, and one of the key figures in it, although he downplays his role, but Rob Cassidy does an awesome job for Rivals and certainly organizing events. I run into him at all the premier things, and he's kind enough to join us this evening. Rob, thanks so much for taking the time, and another good crowd probably expected this weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be another good one. I mean, you've been there the last few years. It should be on par with that event, I think. It seems like most of the top players from the region are signed up. The difference between what we do and what Nike does, and they put on a great event too, so it's no disrespect to them, is that ours is a smaller crowd. So I think they take 400. We are not able to, although I would like to, take 400. So it's a much more elite group of 200, 215 that you see there. And we try to keep it to the elite talent.
And there is. I mean, I remember last year, this time last year that Elijah from Columbus, everybody got their first look at him. He was at Coral. I think he had just transferred from Coral Park at the time. And so you see, you not only see the guys that you expect to see, but you see guys like that. We got an opportunity to see Javonte Royal from St. Thomas Aquinas last year for the first time. Those are events. And like you said, you only invite a certain amount, so you don't get, because if you remember a couple weeks ago when they had, I guess it was the Under Armour, and I guess they had our Nike, and they have all those kids, you lose track. I mean, you walk around, and you go, wow, there's a lot of kids here. But yeah, but at your event, certainly talk about some of the guys that you expect to be there. And I know there are a lot of premier kids in the class of 20 and also in the class of 21.
Yeah, you know, I mean, everybody, it's going to be interesting. It always is at wide receiver with just all the names that are there, you know, with, you know, everybody from Marcus Roseme, you know, and Aiden Henningham back at Deerfield now, DeJuan McDougal at Deerfield, Brian Robinson, who's an interesting name, obviously Mark Britt. These are all guys that will end up at FBS schools, just these wide receivers. That's not even all of them. The Jonesville kid at Carroll City has signed up. Bryce Gowdy has signed up. You mentioned Javonte Royal has signed up. I think it's a pretty safe assumption to say every single one of those kids will end up at a marquee FBS school. And it's almost unfair at positions like wide receiver, defensive back in Miami, where, you know, we only give one MVP award.
Yeah,
these guys, any of them could go to, you know, the Dallas stop and probably be the best player there. It's just unfortunate for them that they're competing against, you know, other extremely high-level prospects.
Now, you take a look at something like this, Robin, and you know, a lot of people say, are these kids, aren't they getting worn out by all this stuff? But they're really not. I mean, they're all showcase events. Obviously, they get things, and, you know, I don't know what they give out through Adidas, but I'm sure it's pretty nice stuff to work out in. But these kids love to perform. And that, do you find that, because I know that you go to a lot of these events, you know, around the country. Do you find that South Florida is just such a competitive area that everybody wants to, you know, everybody feels that they belong?
It is a different breed. I was out in L.A. last week at the L.A. And there's nothing against those L.A. kids because they're talented.
Yeah.
But if you tell a South Florida kid, hey, there's going to be six, you know, four or five-star players at a park, they're going to try to find their way to that park.
Yes.
And prove, you know, it's, you know, some people say it's a dog in them, some people say whatever it is, but it is, it's different down here. They're not scared of competition. In fact, they welcome it. And I think that's, you know, you could go far enough to say that's what sometimes gets them in trouble with the transfer portal and stuff, because they're not scared of anybody. I mean, they're not looking at depth charts. They believe they're the best player there is, and they're going to come out and show that. And, you know, we don't pressure them to come to this camp. I don't have to. It makes my job easy, because all the top kids just sign up. It's like a domino effect.
Yeah, and as we're speaking with Rob Cassidy from Rivals.com, the whole thing too, Rob, is you take a look at, we had Xavier Restrepo on to start the pro. He's a classic example of somebody going to those events and more than showing out. I mean, he usually leads with the MVP because he's a worker, and he's as we said, he's a smart kid. Talk about guys like that, because they're not the 6'2", 220-pound kids.
No, he signed up. He will also be there on Sunday. I have been impressed with him. I didn't know a ton about him last year at this time. He had a nice year, obviously, at St. Thomas, and then I saw him at the Florida Fire tryouts, which took place a few weeks ago, and he's not a camp kid either. I think a lot of people look at him and say, okay, this is a guy that only works in camps because he's a little undersized. And sure, they are good settings for him, but he also, you know, he gets it done in games.
Yeah, he caught 7 balls in the state championship game against Lakeland. So, no, just saying.
A great Lakeland defense.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Guys like that'll come to your event. I mean, it's not only the 4 or 5-star kids that are getting all the props. I mean, because I remember last year, that's where Daniel Carter kind of we saw him for the first time out there. There's a lot of kids that emerge out of those events.
We didn't know who that lineman was last year, Jovan Chambier.
Yeah.
He showed up and put on a great show.
Yeah.
I mean, there's always a kid. It's hard to predict because, I mean, the list is 200 kids, but there is always one or two that either come out of nowhere and win the MVP or come out of nowhere and end up with 20 offers, you know, the next week, because nobody really, I mean, people probably knew who they were or else they wouldn't be in this camp, or their coach had recommended them, but they come out and show that they're every bit as good as the kids that already have the offers and the stars and kind of blow up from there.
Yeah. Well, Rob, so you're out in Los Angeles last week, and obviously people talk left and right about the way they groom their quarterbacks. Were there really that many elite quarterbacks at an L.A. stop as opposed to what's going to be here? I know we don't have guys that are, you know, showcase kids, but what makes the quarterback such a premium out there?
Some years there are. Some years I leave Los Angeles very impressed with the quarterback. This wasn't that year. I thought it was a much better group last year out there. I don't know. You know, I think it's cyclical. To be honest with you, Larry, and I'll say this, I think that part of the reason that Florida has this reputation of not I think it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, to be honest. I think people had decided a long time ago that there's no quarterbacks in South Florida, and that was it. Now, I think it works against them. And I think a lot of times there are talented players down here that maybe don't get the same looks as some of the players on the West Coast or in the Mid-Atlantic or in Dallas, just because it's kind of become this accepted fact that they're not good, even though that may or may not be true. People just will say it. And if you say something enough times, it becomes believable. You know, I think that there are a lot of players that are every bit as talented as some of those kids, but maybe they don't get the same looks from college coaches just because, you know, this reputation started for whatever reason.
And I mean, and you've seen enough of the kids, and I know you do a large area. The as you said, the dog in a lot of these kids, the will to get out of the neighborhoods, a lot of the kids that live in Overtown or Liberty City or some areas that are maybe not conducive for them to advance, they take, I mean, this is everything to them. I mean, you know, you go to some of the areas up in the Northeast, it may not mean as much. But down here, and that's what I try to explain to people, and you see it firsthand, that all these kids, they want, I mean, if they see a kid that we've been talking about, they want them. They want to challenge them.
Yeah, and they call them out.
Yeah. I mean, and they won't do that other places, because I've been to other places, and they won't do it. You know, they'll say, oh, that guy's a five-star. You know, not like, hey, I could take that.
Away.
Yeah, yeah, they shy away. But
I always tell the story about Cameron Davis, who's a running back at Miami now, but he was at Carroll City a few years ago. And I would see him at everything. And this is after he already had the offers. He's committed to Miami. He didn't really need to be at everything. I'd see him at everything. One time, I saw him at an event in the middle of Alabama. And I said, Cameron, what are you doing here? He said, there was no events. There was no events in South Florida this weekend, Rob.
Amazing.
He just came to Alabama. Like, that's how they're wired.
Yeah, well, that's how come Hurricane fans were happy after what they saw briefly of him last year. We'll see a lot more of him this year. But, again, Rob, thanks so much for taking the time out to be with us. We'll definitely see you down there on Sunday. And it's going to be a great event, three-stripe. It's over at Mylander Hendricks Stadium over there in Hialeah.
Yes, it is.
Okay, I know fans may want to watch. What do they get going around 10 or so, or what time?
On Sunday, the Elite Camp registration's at 8, and they'll be on the field by 9:30, yeah.
9:30, good stuff, and we'll see you over there, and everybody will be following you. You do awesome work, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Appreciate you having me, Larry, as always. We'll see you on Sunday, man.
Anytime. Rob Cassidy, who is a good buddy and a Met fan. Yeah, I don't find many of them now. There are at least people that are admitting it.
I grew up a Mets fan.
Oh, you did? Yeah. I've always been. Well, I mean, because there was nobody else down here. There were very few.
There were no Marlins.
No, there was no.
I used to love the teams that had like Daryl Strawberry and Hojo.
Yeah, no doubt. I know you're excited, Danny, because when we come back, we're going to talk to the head guy at the University of Miami. When we come back, head coach Manny Diaz joins us next.
Radio.com.
You. It's Kane over here. Turn over chain.
Back with you on a South Florida High School Sports.com Wednesday edition. Rare time. Thanks so much in our last session to Rob. Rob has done a good job for Rivals. Rob Cassidy doing a tremendous job. They have that three-stripe camp out there. And also to head coach Willie Taggart from Florida State for joining us. Now we turn our attention that all of South Florida is captivated. Heck, the entire country is captivated with what is happening with the University of Miami football in the offseason. A lot of positive vibes going on with head coach Manny Diaz. This is a guy who has that electricity. He's one of those guys that you want to be around. The kids love him. The parents love him. What's not to love? Just a hardworking guy, and he's somebody who represents everybody, and now joins us on South Florida High School Sports.com radio show. Coach Manny Diaz, University of Miami. Thanks so much, Coach, for taking the time.
Oh man, I'm just delighted that you're having me on. This is a pretty cool deal.
Well, what's cool about it is everything that's going on around the university. Positive things since you took over the job. It's just everything is going in every direction. You're always thinking. You're always planning ahead, which is a lot of fun. And the kids, as I said, and the coaches in South Florida and throughout the country like that. Talk about that. And that's always been you. I mean, you've always been that energetic guy. I mean, you've been that life of the party, and now you're the conductor of this. Talk about this, the direction that the school is starting to move in on the football field.
Well, we're just early days, right? I mean, we're just in the beginning of trying to get this thing going. But to me, there's two things. I mean, there's the vibe externally, which matters, you know, and yeah. Certainly, as you know, in recruiting, you know, I mean, it matters because perception is reality in terms of recruiting and things like that. But ultimately, that'll fail if the whole thing is just a house of cards, and if it's all just based off of flash and, you know, 15-second Twitter videos and, right. and hashtags and things like that. I mean, eventually all that gets exposed in the fall. So the real you know, deal is what's going on inside the building and you know, with the guys in the locker room on campus and making sure that's real. Because ultimately, even if you put it in recruiting, view it through a recruiting lens, I mean, those guys are still going to be our best recruiters. I mean, our guys on campus are going to say the real deal in terms of what's up, and their families and their parents, you know, will know what type of experience we're having on our campus. So you want to make sure that it's authentic. What's happening on campus and the movement and the change and the positivity, it's got to be authentic, because if otherwise, sooner or later, it'll get exposed.
But it can't be anything but authentic with you, because you have seen it from the very ground up. I watched you many a year walk in the sidelines and tell me, I got to get to that school by 6:30 to see that kid or this or that. And that, you see, that's not forgotten, because those are the things that you're expecting out of your assistant coaches and your people that work with you, the way that you did it. So it can't be that unexpected for you, because of the fact that this is how you learn. This is how you've done things since the beginning, and you've had a lot of people along the way to kind of help you and lead you. But ultimately, it's been you that worked the 18 to 20 hours for 5, 6, 7 straight weeks during recruiting season. Talk about that advantage, because people don't see that, Coach. They don't, you know, they just say, oh, here's Manny Diaz. He's the head coach. But I remember Middle Tennessee State, and I remember Mississippi State, and I remember all the times that, you were pounding the pavement trying to get the best of the best.
Yeah, you and I have shared a bunch of sidelines together over the years. There's no doubt, and look, I mean, I like you mentioned, I've been raised by some great coaches, and one thing I've always known is true is that whoever wins, you know, Dade Broward and Palm Beach between the Big Three wins the state, and that's just I don't think it's ever not been true. I think things are a little different than what it was 20 years ago, because there's definitely more outside influences, but this is still. Recruiting, first and foremost, is still an evaluation-based business. And I know everybody wants to talk about the idea of acquisition, but you've got to get on the right guys. And I've always felt that down here, that's paramount, because there's a lot of good players. But there's guys that develop late. There's guys that, you know, you just... There's guys that in the division in the district that they're playing in, if they were playing in some other district somewhere else in the country, they'd be a freaking 7-star recruit. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah.
But they're playing in a division where there may be. I mean, if we cut the crap, there may be 4 of the top teams in the country playing. You know, within 5 miles of each other. So if you can cut it in that league. You know, you can cut it anywhere. And then we say it all the time in our office. We say it all the time. We say, just imagine this guy playing in that league. If this guy was in the Dallas Metroplex area, or this guy was in this area, he'd have 78 offers and would have, you know, like I said, the whatever recruiting rank. And that's why we have to sign the best recruiting class from Miami.
Right.
We have to sign the best recruiting class. I told my coaches, we have to be the recruit of the year for Miami, not for rivals and not for 24/7 and not nothing sure. against those people, but like, it's just different down here and the way players are evaluated is just different down here. So, and that's really what we're looking for.
Yeah, no doubt. Head coach Manny Diaz, University of Miami, joining us. Coach, the other thing, while the culture of recruiting, I mean, you get it. there's a lot of people that don't get it, but you get it. I mean, this is just like, I mean, to win South Florida, and you've got to, you can't be fake. I mean, there's too many people could read right through you down here, and they do. And so to you, for having as many early things to get kids on campus for future classes, as well as the current classes that are coming in, obviously, you get that because you know how vital it is to get kids on your campus, get some parents to see what type of school it is. Talk about that, because I think getting there were regimes in the past, not recently, but in the past, that just never made an effort to get a base on that beautiful school where there's a, you know, it's a tremendous school, a lot to show off. That's not been your objective. You want to get as many people on. Talk about what's going to be with the camp situation, how you're going to structure that this year, because I know the kids are excited about that, and how to get more people on. Are you going to keep the Paradise type of camp thing too as well?
Yeah, we'll certainly have our Paradise camp. That's been a great deal for us. But you know, you're right with our campus. You know, what I think, if you didn't grow up in South Florida, if you haven't been here a long time, you know, you look at a map and, you know, you see, you know, the greater Miami area and bring Broward and Palm Beach into that. But if you're from here, you really realize that we're a community of neighborhoods. And, you know, I tell everybody, Dade and Broward are two different states. I mean, I remember growing up in Dade County when you'd go up to Broward, that was like, you know, when you were a little kid, that was like
different world.
Like, oh my God, we're going all the way to Broward County and forget about Palm Beach. Palm Beach, it felt like it was
a day trip.
Like 100 hours away.
Yeah. You know?
And you know, now you're an adult and you run around and you get it, but like when you're a kid, you know, I heard stories about staffs of mine that didn't bring kids to the beach. You know, it's just people don't understand. You could grow up in South Dade County and never step foot in Coral Gables.
Yeah.
You would never step foot in Coral Gables. And I tell kids, because people recruit against all the time, they'll say, well, don't you want to experience something different? And I'll tell a kid, you know, there'll be a kid from Broward County. I said, coming to Coral Gables is as different as going to whatever podunk college town that the school is trying to sell you on.
Sure.
Don't think this is like, you know, 13th grade. And then our campus and our university, you know, there's a lot of people don't realize that UM is a private school. A lot of people don't realize we have a dramatic advantage academically because of our student body size and our class size. So, you know, why wouldn't we want to bring families on our campus, and why wouldn't we want to bring these student athletes to realize what Miami actually is?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Manny Diaz joining us, head coach at University of Miami. Coach, the one question I've been trying to figure out is, how did this portal, this transfer portal, was it like you were in the middle of some sleep and woke up one night and go, you know what? I have an idea. What? No, how did this all come about, and how did it slant to your advantage the first year, or did it just talk about it?
Well, I think it happened kind of organically. I mean, I mentioned before, we had a pretty crappy December, right? I mean, we did not finish great recruiting in the early signing day. You know, we had some sort of bad mojo coming down the stretch of the season. You know, I left. You know, I created. You know, I didn't help. there's a lot of uncertainty, you know, and then obviously we laid an egg in the bowl game. So just things weren't really going great at Miami. We entered in January with a lot more scholarships than most teams had given the early signing day.
Right.
So as a result, the portal, it's a new name. It's kind of funky and it's fun and whatever, but kids have been transferring for a long time.
Sure.
We just had the ability to probably make things happen different than other colleges. And then also, as I mentioned, we had the unusual status of having a very small senior class. So, you know, we've had great success with grad transfers defensively over the last 3 years at Miami, bringing in some guys where we felt like at positions where we needed some age and maturity. And all of a sudden, you look at our entire football team. Well, gosh, we're really young in the quarterback room. We don't have anybody that's a junior or above in the quarterback room. Gosh, we're really young in the wide receiver room. Gosh, we're really young, you know, at offensive line. Gosh, we're really young at, you know, and you just went down the line. And so we were just ripe for, you know, we were ripe for the portal. The timing was perfect for us.
Yeah. And you take a look at also the staff and how it's come together. And obviously, you made changes where changes were needed. And certainly the defensive side of the ball, I mean, you getting the linebackers back, huge. I mean, because from a leadership, from a skill, from experience, and also from a teaching standpoint, because you have some younger guys coming up at linebacker that that need that extra year to kind of, you know, to kind of learn and watch. From that standpoint, really fortunate. Spring practice, obviously, going to be huge for you. You got a lot of things to answer. What are you looking to get out of that, you know, that period?
Well, you know, obviously this is a little bit different because we are sort of setting the tempo for the entire team. You know, it's going to be real simple. Play like a Miami Hurricane. That's what we established, you know, 3 years ago on defense, and now we've got to do that with the entire roster.
Yep.
Obviously, we've got a great new offense coordinator in Dan Enos. Certainly, all the attention will be on the quarterback position, and everything will be on the scheme of what we're doing. But more importantly than that, will be the how we do it, and just the tenacity and the effort and the toughness that we play with. And those are things you can establish in the spring. Because to be perfectly honest, you know, the scheme will be new. We'll be learning the scheme, and our players will be better at it in August than they will be in March and April.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, so you want to at least at a minimum begin to lay down the identity of who you want to be and how you want to do it, and then find your best players, because there are a lot of guys that have they've got a new lease on life and how they played a year ago, and you know it's all gone and forgotten, and it's the only thing that matters is what's happening forward on both sides of the ball. I don't want the kids on defense to feel like they've arrived. You know, that's not the case. And let's go see what we got. And bottom line, here's the deal. Let's go, like I said, let's go see what we got. Let's go find out what we got. And let's go get in the ring and mix it up.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't believe that we played as well as we could play. And, you know, and that's, you know, let's go find out who we got, you know, who we are, what we got. Let's go maximize it. Our potential.
Good stuff. You got me pumped. Coach, again, thanks so much for taking the time. We'll see you this spring. And again, best of luck. And you've come the hard way through it. And people don't know you've worked extremely hard to get in this position. Well deserved. And we'll talk to you soon.
No, I appreciate everything you've done always for high school.
Good stuff.
Down here. You're awesome, man.
Thanks. Manny Diaz, head coach at University of Miami.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.